You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Well, hey there, everybody. It's me, Joe Thrashenkill. You're listening to another thrilling episode of the Toilet of Hell radio show. I'm joined today by the good and golden boy, the internet sweetheart. You know him. You love him. He's Jordan. Jordan, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you, Joe?
I cannot complain, my friend. We have a lot of great content, hashtag content, available for folks on this episode. But you know what we also have? We have a lot of great hashtag content available over at patreon.com/toiletofhell, where we just put up a brand new episode of Bonus Toilet Radio, in which, what did we do on it, Jordan?
We finally, our long, arduous journey has ended, where we have gone through nuclear blasts, bloated, extended, way too big roster, cut out some of the bad bands, shrugged our shoulders at some bands we've never heard of, and kept a few of the ones we liked, and made Nuclear Blast into a lean, mean metal machine that, I guess now that's done, nothing will happen, but hey, we did it for your enjoyment.
Yeah, folks that, you know, I regularly get a lot of great feedback on these fantasy labelable episodes. There's a ton of them over on the Patreon, as well as a bunch of other great stuff. I make special playlists for y'all every single month. The most recent one is to commemorate our upcoming solar eclipse here in Texas. So lots of shit about space and aliens and stuff like that. It's good.
Are people in Texas going to pull out their six shooters and shoot at the sun?
So I saw that the National Guard is getting deployed across the state. So maybe.
Do they think that because of the event, people are just going to go nuts because it's a thing that's happening? Or do they think that the brief blotting out of the sun will cause people to lose their minds?
So we're supposed to get millions and millions of people within this very narrow corridor in the middle of the state visiting to see this 4-minute event. So it's going to be, I've heard that it's going to be a little bit wild, actually. But I won't know because I'll be in the basement of an emergency room working on people while it happens. So, you know, let me know about how the sun blotting goes. Let me know if it comes back, I guess.
I mean, you'll know when it's done when you start getting more people rolling in with the burnt out corneas.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. I'm looking forward to that. All that to say, if you give us just say $5 a month on Patreon, you get a lot of great content, and it goes towards a worthy cause, which is to say it goes into a black hole somewhere, and then we'll figure out something to do with it in the future.
It goes into an account where it has 0% growth over time and achieves nothing.
Yes,
it gains dust.
That's about right. But you know, that's something we'll worry about with the accountants in the future. Anyway, Jordan, how have you been?
Doing all right. At work, I started doing a like leadership training thing that was recommended to me.
Sounds awful.
Yeah. I never liked school to begin with, and I've just kind of avoided having to do any of these things, but someone recommended it, and if I want to make more money, I guess maybe this is a thing that we should do. And it's like one of those things where we meet once a month for like 8 months and then have separate breakout groups to talk about leadership things. I was very much not looking forward to it to begin with, but we like had our introductory class, and the next one we have to do, and I always want to say Higgs-Boson, but that's not what it is. It's they're asking us to do the Myers-Briggs psychological. Are you an intuitive thinker, feel whatever?
Are you an
I have avoided doing
this. ENFJTPLOMN?
LMNOP, whatever.
Yeah.
I've avoided doing this for many, many years because I do not want to do it. I don't want to know what a 100-year-old test that has lots of flaws thinks of me and will like therefore color my opinion of myself and other people, their opinion of me, and puts me into a box, and I just don't want any part of that. So,
well, here's another fun fact with the Myers-Briggs test is that if you give the same person the same test at different parts of the day, they get different results.
So, right. I've heard that too.
Yeah. I don't know how you successfully avoided this for so long. I think that like half the jobs I applied to over the last 20 years have made me do that stupid test.
I mean, I think I've done maybe not the official test, but other horseshit personality ones. I remember having to do something like that for when I was in high school trying to get a job at Toys R Us.
Hell yeah.
But as far as like the official thing, I don't want to do it. And I messaged the person who runs the class and they were out that day. So we'll see what happens. But man, don't make me do this.
So let me just throw this out there, Jordan. If you're doing something to do leadership training and your first order of business is to tell this crew that you don't want to go along with their horseshit policies, you're probably not management material. As
Or I
far
am. Maybe that's the test. It's a you need to know when to not just go along and do things.
From what I've gathered in my years of experience, management is entirely the practice of relaying bullshit policies on people without any reflection whatsoever. So, just going to go ahead and throw that out there. If you want to make it in this wild and crazy world of business management or whatever the fuck it is, yeah, you're probably just going to have to go along with it, swallow the Kool-Aid, all that shit.
Well, that's the thing. I don't want to make it. I just want more money.
Yeah. There's got to be a better way. Patreon.com/toiletofhell. Anyway, we got a few things we need to get on this week's episode, if that's okay with you. I'll leave the ground open if there's any new business you want to put forth.
Sure, we could follow up on what we did last week's show. People remember that we got a lovely email from a Zoomer listener who educated us on the benefits of being a metal band and TikTok. And we got a response from another listener. If people ever want to email us, toilethofhell@gmail.com, toilethofhellradio@gmail.com. I read everything, much to my dismay. And we'll get to another email once we finish this one. But it was very helpful. And I kind of feel after reading this, we're like, you've seen the picture of the Bloods and the Crips holding up their tied bandanas, and like we're squashing beef and we're bringing generations together.
I do
A
like the
Gen Xer
idea.
response.
Sorry, I love the idea of intergenerational warfare being waged between our fucking inbox, between like all of these other people. I love that idea. That's so much good.
It's just a war zone out here. It makes me think of I've never seen an actual article about it. I've only heard people talk about it. But like in the 2000s in Mexico, in the music scene, there was like full out brawls and actual fights between like emos and punks to the point where the Krishnas had to get involved and like settle everyone down.
Damn, that rules. I hope that Ray Capo is like, no, everybody chill out.
Everyone just listen to some 108. We'll be cool.
Exactly.
So we have this email from Kevin. Gen Xer responds to the Zoomer metal email.
All right, good start.
Hi, Joe and Jordan,
Hi.
longtime listener and Patreon supporter.
Woo-hoo!
Right off the bat, that's how you email us. That's how you get our
Yeah.
email room. Longtime listener and Patreon supporter, first time emailer. I'm old, like as old as some of the old rock stars you make fun of, although I hope I'm not as bloated and brain damaged. I enjoyed hearing your analysis of the email from the metalhead born in 2000s, and in parentheses, yikes. I feel the same way. Who theorized that TikTok was a proximate cause of a breakdown in genre purity, along with all the other things you mentioned, such as the loss of radio and print media. I do have the only metal show on the radio station at the college where I work, so that does still exist in a diminished form. There's some metal shows still out there. I think by me, there's one like Saturday nights, 12 to 1, and like you do have some college stations out there that allow people to play whatever they want. And like I mentioned last time, you have WSOU, Seton Hall Station. So it's out there. It's just not as prevalent as it used to be, just in terms of guitar-based music. He continues, however, I also wonder whether this phenomenon that the emailer noted of seeing new metal fans at black metal shows, for example, or the inexplicable mainstream, or what passes for it now, popularity of bands like Primitive Man and Null, is also due to the era of festivals we seem to be in. I couldn't help but notice that all the bands they mentioned either played at Roadburn in the past couple of years or are playing this year. The exception is Kek the Rock, who was scheduled to play this year but couldn't because of the war in Ukraine. And that's just Roadburn. Many of these bands will undoubtedly go from there to other big names, big summer festivals in Europe and North America, such as Prepare the Ground in Toronto at the end of May. Roadbird's lineup is perhaps the most eclectic. Am I going to try to see Clipping, Chelsea Wolf, Fanta Fetetetetex, and Lord Spikeheart all on Thursday? Yes, I am. I'm singling out Roadburn because it's coming up and I know it the best, but I'm sure it could be applied to others as well. Maybe the rise of the festival era helps introduce people to genres outside the normal listening habits, and when some of those bands play St. Vitus, Warsaw, TVI, or any local metal venue in any given city, people who present as from one subculture go because they've seen them at a big festival. I've done that with bands like Knoll. I wonder if that could be just as or even more influential on pushing Knoll or Chatpile up the ladder as musical fame as a 10 to 15 second clip of a song on TikTok. As Knoll, who remembers when we used to wear onions on our belts, good reference, which was the style at the time, I don't use TikTok, but I do find new music at festivals. Gen X and millennials seem to be the target market for many festivals. So what do you think of that?
I think it's an interesting thing. I remember the first time I really noticed this kind of cross genre bleed was in the probably mid 2000s with a number of festivals that that popped up. I know I've mentioned it a number of times before, the Unfairly Killed Fun 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 Fest, which had separate stages for punk, metal, rap, and like indie bass music. And they all kind of bled over and led to kind of like a big, you know, the ability for these bands to get cross contamination across audiences. I've seen a lot of that ever since. It's kind of the norm now rather than like having one particular style of music on a festival. So I think there is something to that, but I think that there's something else going on here because while I've seen, for example, Primitive Band on a few studio on a few festival bills, things that I've gone to, like having them kind of blow up in popularity out of nowhere, despite years of them doing that, there's a secret sauce happening. I think, I don't know, maybe I'm missing something. What do you think?
Well, festivals are nothing new, obviously.
Sure.
I mean, going back to the 80s, I think there's certainly more of them. And, you know, there a fair amount of them are part of whatever that festival network is, where you see a lot of the same bands playing the same types of festivals, just in different parts of the U.S. They seem to be cramming a lot of bands onto these things. So I guess it's an increased chance of maybe seeing these bands as you're wandering around or you need a break from the big stage things. I think some of it also probably has to do with like virality. You know, TikTok is the obvious big one, but seeing a name and a logo on a festival poster, or flyer, seeing people on social media just constantly talk about one or two bands. I mean, how many times do people just say Bolt Thrower on Twitter and people retweet it and like and whatever? Is that very different from people saying Knoll over and over again at each other? Not that much. I guess for perhaps younger generation, more people are inclined to be like, oh, what's this Knoll everyone is talking about? So I think there's different options and ways for bits of music or bands to kind of worm their way into the public consciousness, whether it's having a weird name or a music video or a recognizable logo, or, you know, people genuinely like it. You have a good gimmick. All these sorts of little things can put a band on people's radar on top of the way that technology works now, where things just get thrown into your face and it's almost hard to avoid, at least for a little while. And there's a whole different discussion about why that happens and how that happens. And it turns out most of them are just commercials that are put on by big companies like, oh, this middle-aged man skateboarding and drinking cranberry juice while listening to ABBA is actually a commercial from Ocean Spray.
Right.
So there's all sorts of different things, and it's we're all kind of receiving this information at the same time, and just generationally, I think we're having different reactions to it, whether it is just a full-on rejection, a kind of shrug, or yes, this is what we like because this is geared exactly towards us.
I do think that Kevin makes a good point here, though. He's saying that the target audience for these festivals is mostly Gen X and millennials, and I would agree mm-hmm. with that. So, because the damn Zoomers are always on their phone. Have you noticed this? Have you seen this?
I have seen videos of concerts, people taking videos of other people taking videos at concerts.
Right. So it's one of those things where you're like, it sounds like I'm being a crank, like an old man or whatever. But like for a lot of younger folks, it does feel like they seem to experience a lot of the world primarily through phone rather than the sensation of going out and buying a ticket and seeing a bunch of shit that they've never heard of. So having that first contact with these groups being something that you are familiar with, quote unquote, with 15 seconds more or less on a video is a massive, massive advantage for these groups. That's mm-hmm. kind of the connection that I'm making with it anyway.
And still from my explanations or thought process last time, does the connection last? Are you a lifetime fan from that 15 seconds? You know, time will tell. But you know,
let's go back to the original, example from this. Like, you know, we were talking about municipal waste a few weeks ago, right? Mm-hmm. And all the Zoomers that showed up for that. And I mean, the band could not have brought it any harder. I feel like if you are a young person who is maybe familiar with some of the shit from looking at your phone, and then you go into a live environment and you see these dudes just fucking ripping it and, you know, encouraging you to be bad and to like crowd surf in a trash can and shit like that. That's the kind of thing that makes somebody a fan for life, I think.
It does, but that's that one band. That's their attitude, is to have fun.
Sure.
We've all been to shows where that's not the case.
Sure.
You know, it's... show isn't always guaranteed. Bands have off nights.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're making, like, I don't know, fucking sad boy indie music, you've got a fucking tough road to hoe there, pal. First off, consider a different genre. That's my advice.
You know, especially for like doom bands or some of these 60-minute songs, you hear 10 seconds and it's just like, oh, this sounds nice, and then you're stuck there for an hour.
No.
Having to do all that stuff. So I think it's obviously on a band-by-band basis and how they're presented in these sorts of situations versus seeing them in a club versus seeing them at a festival. There's no one-size-fits-all for every band for all of social media or however music being geared to people. So for some, it will work. You know, you could look at a Sleep Token or already established bands like Municipal Waste or Ghost. Or for some of these newer bands that, you know, you'd never would have heard them on the radio anyway. This is a way for people to directly hear them. But time will tell if this is like the way to discover new music is just in these little bites. And from there, you will be able to enjoy the music more.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm holding on to my original attack on this, which is, fuck, we should take whatever we can get at this point.
Yeah, I'm not saying don't. Just saying we'll see where things go. Who knows? People are afraid to leave their house now anyway, or they're too scared to pick up the phone to order a pizza. Then, you know, is this the way to go? Because they're not going to get it anyway else.
I don't know, man. Yeah, man, we got to do something about these phones. Do you want to finish this email from Kevin?
Well, he did give us money on Patreon, so I think it's only right that we finish off with everything that he said, and it gives us a way to advertise some more.
Right. I'll end with a request. Please do Fantasy Label Bowl with the Flenser, my favorite label, which would probably be an easy one-and-done episode. Kevin, because you give us money, we will put that into strong consideration for a future episode of patreon.com/Toilet of Hell Radio.
We could probably bang that out in 5 minutes.
Probably. It reminds me, like, Christian Molinar, like a decade ago, showed me a video of some kid on YouTube that was just like playing this really shitty metalcore song alone in his bedroom, and he says, "Please, at the Flenser, for your consideration to sign me to your label." It's one of the funniest things I think I've ever seen. All right. That's all well and good. We like emails. We love getting emails. As a matter of fact, we got one of my, I think, the best emails we've ever gotten this week as well. Can we take a look at that one?
Yes, we got another email. And usually when I first check the emails in the morning before work, it's like 6 in the morning. I'm still waking up. And I see this email and I kind of have to blink twice and rub my eyes and look at it again. Because we got an email from Ashba Studios.
Mm-hmm. Ashba Studios at iCloud.com, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Very professional.
We have a number of people. Well, sorry, let's go ahead and read this first of all. The subject is attention removal immediately, with periods there. Lets me know that I'm dealing with a very professional, very serious minded person. We have a number of people CC'd on this email as well. Lets us know that we're in the company of greatness here with one Garrett Glass. That would be Garrett at rmenterprise.com. Gina Paz, COO. That would be Gina at ashbastudios.com. Sophia at ashbastudios.com as well, who does not get additional titles there. And Ashba Studios themselves at ashbastudios@icloud.com. Is that everybody?
Do you really have to CC yourself?
I wouldn't think so, but you know, I'm not a lawyer, so you know, what do I know? You know, this is we've gotten a handful of emails over the years where people are directing us to do something under some kind of vague threat. And those are probably my favorite emails to get, because the thing is, when somebody tells me to do something, I will do the opposite. I am going to make your life hard, actually, for even suggesting that I do something for you.
Yeah, we've gotten a few of those. Usually, like, pointing out that a band's album artwork is anti-Semitic, or, you know, someone is no longer in a band and they're worried that an article about them is going to hurt whatever job they're trying to do. And we save all those. We do right. not get rid of them.
Yeah. And here's the thing. You want me to remove something? Have a fact check ready, because I'm not doing your shit for free, you fuckbag.
And, you know, if someone asks and, like, comes at me in a normal fashion with some sort of explanation, I would genuinely consider it. And if need be, I'd do it. Like, we do this stuff for fun. Right. My integrity is not being impugned if you say, like, yeah, you know, this thing's still up and I'm sorry for what I did or whatever. For whatever reason, I would think about it. I would. But in this case, no.
Absolutely not. So, by the way, we should probably say this. Ashba Studios, for anybody that's not familiar with this, can we go ahead and fill them in?
This would be, I guess he has a studio, DJ Ashba, formerly of one of the Guns N' Roses that was briefly around before they decided to get another guitarist.
Right. This would be the guitarist that nobody gives a shit about in the Guns N' Roses history. He was also briefly in Bullet Boys, in the mid-90s. And something called Beautiful Creatures from 2000 to 2002. I don't know what the fuck that is, because I'm not the kind of asshole that reads Blabbermouth unironically.
Featuring lead singer Joe Leste of Bang Tango.
Wow. Cool. He did some solo stuff. He played with 6 AM. That would be Nikki Sixx's solo thing. Real pathetic stuff there. Let's see here. It says he owns two corporations, Ashba Media Incorporated and Ashba Land Incorporated. Some bullshit with working with designs for Virgin Megastore, which I don't believe any of those exist anymore. Do you think that do any of those exist anymore?
If they do, they're not around here.
He contributed to writing songs for Motley Crue's Saints of Los Angeles. You familiar with that one?
Don't think I've listened to that one.
Basically, he's some dickhead with a guitar and probably a fair amount of family money to keep pursuing all of this vanity bullshit in the world of Affliction and Ed Hardy-esque designs. Really, really kind of gross kind of looking guy. Are you familiar with his guitar work?
I don't know if I've ever actually heard him play guitar because he is playing in bands well past their heyday.
Yeah. Anyway, what happened here was in 2017, you wrote a shirt stains article, which was, you know, just kind of a quick joke about this insane article that I think it was Blabbermouth put out about DJ Ashba saying that he is creating his own line of artisanal water to sell in his stupid fucking Affliction store in Las Vegas, right?
Right. I believe we talked about it on the show at the time.
The crux of this is that people kept coming into his stupid, magic themed shop, expecting that he was actually Chris Angel instead of DJ Ashba. And they were thirsty and they wanted to buy a bottle of water and to get the fuck out of his store because they're in Las Vegas and everything's hot. So he decided that actually it's a brilliant idea to invest my Ashba Empire resources into licensing some fucking water with my name on it, I guess. It was all in good fun here until, I guess, let's see, how many years past is this now? Is this 8 years?
Seven.
7 years?
Almost to the day, 7 years ago, that this article was written, entitled Shirt Stains, DJ Ashba Piss Water. And I've very poorly photoshopped one of his bottles of water into a gross-looking bathtub.
It says here, we are contacting you regarding a post made on your website May 12, 2017, where you have made slandering and false accusations towards DJ Ashba and Ashba Water LLC. Cool. That's cool. Here's my favorite part. You have 24 hours to remove this, or we will be turning the matter over to our legal team and have, all caps, have every intention in pursuing legal matters ASAP. And here is my invitation to the DJ Ashba Company LLC and legal team. You have 24 hours. You must accept.
You have 24 hours to start sucking.
What, who do these people fucking think they are? Like, do they think that we're going to quake at the long swinging dick of DJ Ashba?
It's just that it's from 7 years ago. I had forgotten I had even written it.
No one
I'm sure
cares
someone
about
just
this.
Someone in the studio Googled DJ Ashba Water and found that and were just aghast and sent it around to the group chat and fired off that email.
Yeah. So I noticed that in the team at Ashba Incorporated LLC Futures Investments Fund, nobody from the legal team is included there. So if you want to go ahead and kick things off and send that up to the legal team, we'll be sure to get on it right away. This is not, again, not the first time somebody has sent us a threat to take down a pretty fucking milquetoast article where we're just having a little bit of fun. And again, nothing, absolutely nothing will make me do that ever. Please, if you want to get your fucking legal team at $500 an hour working on this, yeah, by all means, waste your fucking time. I will continue to ignore this.
Whenever I see something like that, I simply say, it's not slander. It's libel. It's written.
Yeah.
But if anything, this creates a little Streisand effect because, again, it's a 7-year-old article about a guitarist that not that many people, especially in the heavy metal world, have heard of or cared about. But now that we're talking about it on the show, because of your email, now more people know that this exists and that this guy tried to mark up bottles of water in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So there you go. Good job.
Yeah. I would encourage everyone over there to go ahead and eat my shit and hair. Well, I don't know. I'm going to be looking for more slanderous things to put together for DJ Ashba in the future, I guess.
And like, we have our guys that we talk about on the show that we genuinely do not like. DJ Ashba isn't one of them. or wasn't.
Because nobody fucking cares. So, nobody cares who the fucking ninth guitarist in Guns N' Roses was before they all got back together. You're just some fucking lame loser, 50 years old, looking like a pile of fucking shit, riding the goddamn coattails of Nikki Sixx. You're a never has been, you fucking loser, DJ Ashba. Suck my dick. Can we get a transcript of that for them?
Yeah, we'll have our lawyers type something out and send it to their lawyers.
There we go. What do you think? Can we move on from here?
Yeah, something else. What do you got?
Boy, I've got a few things here. We have some surprising news, actually. One of the guys that we can qualify as our guys, had some surprising news. 6 Feet Under's Chris Barnes. You know him, right?
Yes, he has been on the show before, and he has blocked both you and the Toilet of Hell Twitter account.
Again, wild stuff here. He surprised the hell out of me this week. How about you?
I think he surprised everyone, to be honest.
He came out here and said, in an interview with Metal Injection, that he has been sober for about a year and a half now.
Oh, this was an interview with This Day in Metal that Injection and Blabbermouth covered.
While we were interviewing him, he was fucking around with his weed stuff.
Yes, he was very high while he was talking to us.
Yeah. Everybody has known him as the guy who is always high for a very, very long time. So, shocking. Says here, I don't smoke cannabis anymore. I haven't for about a year and a half, but previously I would use it in all aspects of my daily life, and it was a wonderful meditative tool to use to write lyrics to, and of course, yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. No, it's actually beneficial to your health, so I wouldn't say that any part of it has, you know, I guess it was just something I wanted to do personally. It's been a year and a half, no cannabis, no alcohol, so it's kind of changed gears a little bit in my life. I guess my question is, how would we know if he hadn't told us?
Well, the picture that's being used for some of these press articles, he's looking rather not gross.
He has some more color in his face.
Yeah, a little bit more life behind his eyes. I think the dreads have been at least pushed back away from his face, and he doesn't look like he's, I don't know, a corpse that smells. Looking okay, so good for him. I hope this works. He's not sober. He's just not smoking weed and drinking, right?
I mean, like, I guess that's what he's saying here, but I thought that was like all he was doing was smoking weed. So if you cut that out, you're pretty much sober anyway. I don't know. It's one of those things like, wow, I never thought I would see this day. Like, I know that lots of marketing over the last year was spent saying like, Snoop Dogg saying he doesn't smoke anymore, which of course, if you believe that, it's because you were buying into, you know, something that was about to be sold to you. But like, you know, our regular guys who are everyday 24/7 smokers, you don't typically see them quit. So I got to know. I want to know what prompted the change in his life. So if somebody who is not blocked by Chris Barnes can reach out to him and ask him to come back on the show, I would really like to talk to him about it.
Where it's all just marketing for their new album that comes out in May.
That could be it. I do like the idea. He's like, what if I gave this actual effort rather than I was just stoned the entire time? People are like, well, I guess I'll check that out. That's fine.
I mean, April Fool's Day is now. It would be very funny if, like, for a day it was X, 6 feet under X.
Would be funny. I don't see it. I don't see it coming. He didn't have that sense of humor, I don't think.
No.
Didn't really have a sense of humor, to be honest with you.
No.
So yeah, Chris, come on the show. Let us know all about it. Moving on here a little bit further. Other things that we need to talk about. There is somebody coming for our shit. Somebody trying to invade our space. Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? One Friedrich
Fred Durst to launch a podcast about UFOs and conspiracies.
Uh-huh. Which does it say which podcast network this is going to be associated with? Is it Compound Media?
It's worse. It's Bill Maher.
Oh fuck, dude, seriously?
Seriously.
I'm oh, what a hell of a fit. Bill Maher and Fred Durst, two of the most, well, detestable people of their generations, I would say.
And Billy Corgan.
And Billy Corgan. Boy, it's a party now.
TV host, comedian, and writer Bill Maher has launched
Comedian
Club
in
Random
fucking,
Studios.
comedian needs to be in fucking quotation marks there. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he is. No, he has not made anyone laugh. Named after his own podcast, Club Random, started in 2022. Two additions to the newly minted Club Random Studios are Smashing Pumpkins frontman Billy Corgan and his own Club Random podcast, as well as Limp Bizkit vocalist Fred Durst will host a show about UFOs and conspiracy theories. I never knew Fred or Billy, Marr said of Corgan and Durst to Variety. I'm tempted to do a whiny Bill Maher voice, but I won't. But something good happens there, and I could feel like I'm best friends for life with somebody who I just talked to for an hour and a half. That's the quality we want, a nighttime feel.
I see. All right. I think I would probably rather chew my own arm off than have to talk to Bill Maher for an hour and a half. I don't know about you.
I'd rather talk to Joe Rogan.
Yeah, same. Really, really unlikable, man. I don't know how these two got hooked up here, but it does seem, I don't know, it does seem like a good fit, I guess, in an odd way. They're all well past their prime. They were in the 90s firebrands, I guess, as it were, and now they have settled into dumpy middle age where everybody's just going, ugh, I guess you're still around.
They're all contemptible numbskulls
Yeah.
who have said and done ridiculous things. I was reminded when this news came out that Ukraine had banished Fred Durst from the country for 5 years after he like tried to buy a house in Crimea and had talked up Putin and Russia. And I think didn't Limp Bizkit like try to play a concert there at some point?
Think so. Yeah, there was a bunch of weird stuff with his relationship in Crimea. I'm not sure exactly what happened there. It seemed not on the up and up, though.
And he's on Twitter has said some conspiracy theory related things. So this could only end poorly. He is going to say something where there is no coming back from it. So we'll see how long this lasts. The funny thing about Bill Maher and podcasts, just this morning, I saw a clip of Steve-O from Jackass. He has his own podcast. And he talked about Bill Maher and his podcast specifically. How Steve-O has been sober for 16 years now. And apparently, Bill Maher's gimmick or the thing he does is whenever he's doing this podcast, he just smokes weed. And when Steve-O was asked, like, if he wanted to do it, he said, you know, I'll do it. Just like, please don't do that. My sobriety is very important to me. I can't be around it.
Right.
And they said no. And
Wow.
Steve-O said, all right, well, I'm not doing it then.
Yeah. Good for him. Yeah, Bill Maher is a fucking leech. Steve-O does not need that shit.
He is a leech, a hack. He is painfully unfunny, and I do not understand how he still has a television show and now a podcast.
I don't know, man. The contrarian centrist Gen Xer is a powerful force somehow still. I figure that's the only person that still gives a shit about any of this.
If you ever need a smile, look up on YouTube where he had wrestlers on his show, including Roddy Piper. And he starts the show off with, like, everyone's in on the joke, right? And Roddy Piper cuts a promo on him.
I guess my bigger question is, how has Bill Maher spent the last 40 years looking like an adult baby? I don't understand how that's possible.
Mean,
Anyway,
how has no one smashed his face in yet?
I don't know that either. I heard years ago that he actually he lives in his studio, like he has like an apartment in the back of the studio, so he doesn't ever have to like go home or anything like that, and just orders hookers there constantly, so he never has to be alone either. Really pathetic man. Really, really pathetic, shitty fucking man.
I mean, if Hulk Hogan can choke out Richard Belzer on his TV show, certainly someone can do the same to Bill Maher.
Seriously. Do you think that you'll ever find an occasion where you're listening to either Billy Corgan or Fred Durst podcasts?
I mean, the only time would be in clip form when they say something stupid and we get to talk about it on the show.
Right. Both of these guys, really, really contemptible turn in old age too. Isn't I don't know, isn't Billy Corgan big friends with Alex Jones?
I believe he is, and
Yeah.
yeah, he's a conspiracy theorist too. And like I said, nothing good will come of either one of these shows because you know they're not just going to stick to whatever. It's not going to be like, oh, Area 51, or maybe the moon landing isn't what it's all cracked up to be. It's going to be lots of three parentheses around certain names and other awful things.
Yep, that sounds about right. They'll never give you the straight dope, like how the LAPD killed Tupac. You can only get that on our show and a number of others, I guess. But I will make it a point to try to try to listen to a little bit of these shows, just simply trying to find out what our competition is like. You know, I know that not every podcast can be like the God, who are the fail children of the crown in the UK or whatever that got a $500 million from Spotify to never record a single podcast episode.
Meghan and Harry.
Yeah. We need to try to get a deal like that. Let's work on that. Get our business guy on it.
Just get hired by NBC and people get so mad you get fired and then you cash out for like $500,000.
I mean, that sounds ideal to me. Can we get that going, please?
That would be nice. How long do you think these podcasts last? What's the over under on it lasting longer than the Man of War podcast or the Todd Jones Nails podcast?
So the Man of War podcast made it six episodes, I think. And
Something like
the
that.
Todd Jones one, I think, made it five. And
Five.
I think that's about what they all make it to. Certainly none of
I
them
guess
have.
it depends. It depends on like a contract or what money is going to be left on the table if they just like force themselves to do more than five, but we shall see.
Yeah, I'm not gonna hold my breath on that for sure. Let's move on here to some other thing that gets my fucking goat. The goddamn canned water company. And you know what?
We've
That's
killed
a.
enough time. We can finally talk about
Here's
it.
the thing, man. I hate calling it the. I call it the canned water company, but the thing is, I've been buying canned water for decades before these cunts came around. So again, you don't even deserve that recognition. You're just the edgy water company. Fuck you.
It's the advertising company that sells water in a can.
Yeah, the Venture Capital Water Advertising Company. That's better. It pains me every time that I see these guys have a stunt that actually gets off. I hate to see it. I want nothing but their complete and utter decimation and failure. And here we are finding another way to be successful with, well, the hooting morons of the world as it is. What's their whole shit this time?
This past week, and if you've been on social media, you've probably seen discourse about it. Liquid Death teamed up with ELF, makeup company, which stands for Eyes, Lips, Face, and put out a corpse paint vault. It was a $34 makeup kit that comes in a little coffin. It says Elf and Liquid Death on it. It has already sold out because, again, it's only $34. What this was, and I'm on the Elf Cosmetics website. And for those that don't know, Elf has been around for about 20, 25 years. And they're
I thought Elf was shut
not.
down by the FBI after they bombed all those SUV dealerships.
I mean, maybe.
Oh, sorry.
That
That's a
one's over my head.
sorry, that's a joke about the Environmental Liberation Front.
Oh, I see. Yeah, how's that working out for them? Still good?
They got RICO charges, the entire thing's fucking gone. It
Better luck next time, kids.
was worth a
I guess
shot.
they all went to food, not bombs, right?
I mean, yeah, well, all the most radical guys, the guys that were doing cool stuff, they are never getting out of prison. So, that's not good.
So yeah, ELF been around 20, 25 years. What they were doing is they make low priced makeup by purposely. It's not cheap, but it's for to like be sold at CVS's and places so that everyone can have them. They're high quality, so even though they're relatively cheap, people still enjoy it, and they have pretty big fan base. But this is their thing, at least recently, is teaming up with non-makeup related companies to put out limited edition makeup kits. I'm looking at the description now. In it, they say within three small paragraphs, the word slay a number of times.
I see.
It's the new makeup trend everyone's living for, and it's only available from ELF and Liquid Death. Slay the viral corpse paint look with this limited edition 5-piece kit. Why, you'll love it. Slay the hottest new makeup trend. Corpse paint. Limited edition, 5-piece makeup kit, blah, 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 blah. Comes with a usable keepsake coffin box. Killer price, only $34. Slay the viral corpse paint look.
I see.
And lay no makeup to rest with this limited edition. No, 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 no. So, like I said, this is something that they do. It doesn't really have anything to do with like what the makeup is really for, what it's aiming for. It's just a way for two companies to advertise what they're doing.
Right.
And at this point, I'd like to point out that ELF is owned by a capital marketing company called TPG Growth.
Mm-hmm. Sounds about right.
So you have two capital venture companies putting their heads together and thinking of a way to sell their stuff.
And in the process, helping you slay the viral corpse paint look.
Right. So this is just an advertising company working with an advertising company to advertise things. And what they did is they put out a little silly video on TikTok and social media that is supposed to be funny. It's not. But I guess it doesn't matter whether it is or isn't. It's a thing that exists for people to share around and either like or to comment angrily about, because beyond making money for this, it's all about getting people talking about your thing.
Right.
I have an article from Inc.com about this that I'll just quickly run through. Synergy Space, Liquid Death, a can water company, teamed with ELF Cosmetics, a beauty brand based in Oakland, California, to launch a coffin-shaped makeup set on Tuesday, and it sold out in 45 minutes. The ELF X Liquid Death Corpse Paint Vault, which retailed on ELF and Liquid Death's website for $34, included setting spray, black eyeliner, a makeup brush, black lipstick, and white cream eyeshadow, packaged in a reusable coffin-shaped box. Currently, the vault is selling on eBay for as much as $125.
I mean, it's listed for $125. That's different from selling, but sure.
Right. And I'm sure on Poshmark, that's a big thing, is to sell kits like this that at one point went viral and people are trying to sell for too much money, and it just goes unsold and eventually the makeup rots.
Yeah.
Corpse paint isn't trending, as ELF jokes on its product page. Rather, the intention of the collaboration was to be subversive and bizarre, says Liquid Death Senior Vice President Dan Murphy. Dropping a product in March versus during Halloween, a time when a ghoulish collaboration might be more expected, quote, hijacked social media feeds, Murphy explains, which he says resulted in quick sales and expansive media traction. To advertise the collaboration, ELF ran a 24-hour campaign on Roblox, and the brands released an online commercial showing two young girls poring over a magazine photo of a metalhead musician who materializes and hands them a corpse paint vault. The brands also deployed a paid partnership with Julia Fox, who walked around New York wearing corpse paint on Wednesday. While the planning, product development, and commercial filming process took months, the makeup kit sold out in less than an hour. Still, there's something to be said for a collaboration that goes viral, no matter how short-lived that virality may be, says Murphy. If we can win the internet for a day, and we can do that consistently, every month or every handful of weeks, we're doing great. Capturing and sustaining the internet's attention for weeks isn't a realistic goal, but doing something outrageous enough to create social media buzz every so often is possible, he adds. ELF has a similar strategy for disruption, says President and CMO Corey Marches Soto. Consistently innovating in beauty categories at below market prices, something ELF is known for, makes the brand disruptive by nature. So that's the thing with all of this. It is not even necessarily the product itself. It's not even these companies really working together. It's to get you talking about it. We are all marks for this sort of thing, to either talk about it or rage post about it, or in a lot of cases I've seen, people posting about people posting about it, thinking that it's like black metal fans being up in arms about it. And it's just like, we're all suckers, including us talking about it now. We are here just to talk about it and raise a stink about it and just mention it so that their names are out there. It's like when Mountain Dew was testing Dorito flavored Mountain Dew. It's like, well, that's never really going to be a big thing out there. They just want people talking about Mountain Dew and Doritos, and it works. And they sell out a very limited amount that they actually make, and they move on to the next thing. It's all marketing, and we all contributed to the marketing.
I'm going to be honest with you, man. Hearing these professionals talk about their engagement metrics and virality plans and definitions of success for moving this product really got me thinking pretty hard about killing myself. I don't know about you. I could not detest this in any more pure ways. This attention for the sake of attention, for the sake of getting more eyes on our product so that we can hopefully sell out to a bigger investor group in some future date that is yet undetermined. It really puts it in pretty stark relief how hollow everything is. Nobody's talking about making anything worthwhile, and nobody's talking about doing something with your short time on Earth to enrich yourself and your fellow man. It's just, boy, we managed to manipulate the internet's attention for 15 minutes. It resulted in a short financial windfall for us. I despise these people. I despise everything that they stand for. I hope that every single waking moment that they have is pronounced with the hollow nature of their lives, and they can't escape it, the sucking void that exists within every one of them. I hope your families don't love you. I hope your kids don't respect you. I hope that every single waking moment you are confronted with reality, that you are a rotting piece of meat that has done nothing to contribute to this world. And also the water tastes like shit. So, I don't know, man. I feel like we got to do something about this liquid death thing. I feel like we have to find a way to completely shut them out. What do you think?
We just do a Paul Anka style jingle of "Just Don't Look" and they go away.
I mean, that could be it. It's tough though, because I refrained from making any comments at the time when I saw this all going on. But what kills me is seeing these gibbering idiots that are like, yeah, this is sticking it to the black metal purists or whatever, to which I would say, who are any of the black metal purists with you in this room right now? Do they still care about corpse paint? A thing that has been a worn out joke for 25 years on the internet. Show me these people. Show me how mad they're getting. I would like to see it, because I don't think it exists at all. I think it's you who is in fact being manipulated, because you have so little curiosity about the world around you. You just think, oh, the product is telling me this is funny. This is funny. I find it detestable in every regard, man.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, if it said in the article, it's all about getting your attention for 15 minutes. It's winning the day. It doesn't matter what happens next week. All they need right now, because they are an advertising company, is to get your attention, to get you talking about it. And they succeeded at that, and they sold off their relatively inexpensive makeup. And that's what matters. This is a huge win for both of them. And I'm sure stock prices went up, and they'll come out in a few months with some other collaboration, and Liquid Death will do something else, and people will be like, yeah, I think the lemonade tastes really great. And she's like, man, you're being suckered. It doesn't matter.
I have straight up quit listening to podcasts that I liked because they do sponsorships for Liquid Death.
It's just they're all in the business of making money, which, I mean, I understand all businesses are, but you see how stark it is with that article of, we just need to do this right now.
Right.
We need to sell out right now. We want your attention. Give us your money.
I hate it. I hate it a lot. And I don't have to buy into it. Neither do you. You can take a stand. You don't have to play a part in this scheme. You don't have to let these culture vultures take over what you like. Next time you see a promo person trying to give you a liquid death, hit them with that can.
It's not like we need to defend sweet lady black metal. Black metal is goofy and should be made fun of.
Right.
I don't think that, I mean, the video they put out wasn't funny. Just
no.
From a comedy sort of level.
Right.
But I don't care that it's making fun of black metal. Black metal deserves to be made fun of.
Yes.
It rings hollow when it comes from people that are just co-opting or trying to get your attention because you know what they're talking about. And the other people that don't know go, haha, this is a weird thing.
Right. Yeah, I don't care for that at all. Should we close this out with a different note, though, so we're not so unnecessarily angry? I'm not so unnecessarily
sure.
Angry. I saw a cool article the other day. This was from, sorry. This is from Music Business Worldwide. Are you familiar with Music Business Worldwide?
I don't think so.
Industry rag, you know, because we're in the industry, you know. It says the secret composer behind 650 fake artists on Spotify. His music has been streamed 15 billion times on the platform.
Great.
Did you read this?
I did. It was depressing in many different ways.
It is, isn't it? Really? Like, it's in ways that like I had never even considered before.
It's just like a 10 punch combination of
So, this guy, he's Swedish, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Johan Rohr, who is a composer who has worked on like big charting songs that I'm not familiar with, but I'm sure that lots of people are. But when he's not doing that, he has 50 composer aliases and at least 656 invented artist names for tracks that he's been putting on Spotify. Over 2,700 songs on there, mostly for the purpose of creating inoffensive instrumental tunes that are explicitly made to be placed on like focus playlists that Spotify creates for people that you know, have to really buckle down when they're doing computer jobs, I guess.
Just a chill beats to listen to while doing homework music.
Correct. That's exactly what it is. Yes. So with that, he's somehow made millions of dollars with it, which I think is interesting, considering what we
That's
know
one way
about.
To put it.
Yeah. What do you make of all of this?
It's a gaming of the system for a bad system,
yes.
Which should make you feel good or, I don't know, get some sort of satisfaction out of it. But I just find it like such a bummer that this is a thing that works, just cranking out just mounds of nothing under different names, not really doing all that much and finding success in it. And it's just, it kind of represents all the problems that bands have with Spotify in one distilled, easy to read form. And there's like nothing you can really do about it as either a listener or a musician yourself. Like, we're not going to make 600 different names and do chill beats music. And
right,
we're not going to have the success. And now that this is out there, they'll probably do something to try to stop it. And I don't know. It's like no one wins except for Spotify and this guy.
Yeah, that's really what I'm getting out of it. This is, I mean, I've heard of this phenomenon of like fake bands, fake music on Spotify for years, including people that basically their entire job is to create covers of songs that like the license for the original is not available to Spotify. And I've heard of people making some decent money doing that, as you know, pathetic as that is. But it just goes to show, once you create this ecosystem with specific quirks to the algorithm and financial gains to be made by manipulating it, people are going to do pretty insane things to get over on it. I mean, talking about, the people wasting their lives at liquid death, this guy is, waking up at the crack of dawn every morning to, create another three chord, instrumental passage to try to get a couple thousand listens, maybe get inserted on the chill beats to, do spreadsheets to playlist. I don't know. In some ways, I guess that's a little bit more pure, but it's still a little bit pathetic. What do you think?
I mean, there's nothing any of us can do about it. It's someone gamed the system and they got their money and no one else does.
So, it's just a shame because this only works for a specific kind of thing. You know, you got guys out there that wake up at the crack of dawn every day and make seven albums, and they don't get placed on any of these playlists because their name is Bob McCobb, and it's just not fair. You know, it's not fair to the hardworking artists that are working in more difficult genres. You understand?
I guess I'm an outlier when it comes to my music listening because I don't listen to those playlists that they automatically make or try to make you listen to. I just listen to the music I already enjoy.
So what kills me about Spotify is I don't know exactly what setting I need to change, but I have specific music I want to listen to. And I'll click play on it. And then within three songs, Spotify is like, no, we're going to make you listen to something that we think you want to listen to instead. And it's like, no, I have never once opted into this. I don't care what you think I might like. I do not consent to this. So I just end up closing it off and listening to like YouTube instead.
Do you listen on your phone?
Sometimes.
Yeah, I'm just on my computer in a, like Chrome, and I listen to my library or the few playlists I make, and I've never had that problem.
Yeah, the phone is definitely the worst culprit of it, for sure, putting music I don't want to listen to into my ears.
Everyone enjoys that. Just ask you too.
Yeah, exactly. All bad. All very bad. Maybe this was the wrong note to close this one on. Here we go. Bruce Dickinson, quote, has no fucking interest in metal's countless subgenres. All right, maybe this one sucks too.
Okay. Alrighty.
What do you think? Can we close it out here?
Sure.
Folks, if you like this episode, you want to hear more, we've got them over at the Patreon, or, there's like 500 episodes of this that we did before this one, so you can go back and listen to those. There's options, anything else the folks need to know?
Email us, toadofhell@gmail.com, toadofhellradio@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, Blue Sky, Twitter, and we'll see you next week.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.